distract away from the main theme of the reel.
Perhaps, yeah. There's already some archival footage of mostly the architecture of Guelph, with some gorgeous black and white film stock from, I'd say, the 40s or 50s.
Wow.
I believe originally it was fished out of the Guelph Civic Museum's archive.
Oh, okay.
So some really neat shots where the downtown looks, you know, completely different, actually. Different buildings that I'm too young to recall, and just the way St. George's Square looks it's really almost hard to imagine it today with these old buildings that were all, you know, torn down a few decades ago.
Wow. And how many people, how much footage would you say you had to sort through?
I think we had about 5 or 6 hours, I think.
Of so we had, little home movies.
That's it. And honestly, not too many families submitted, but the families that did really had a great personal archive of their histories. So there's plenty to work with, and you know, have quite the variety that was required to sort of edit within certain themes as well.
I wonder if now that this is going to be happening over this time span and people might start talking about it more, I wonder if there'll be more footage. You know, maybe there's a couple people that have had footage that didn't manage to get it in. I wonder if more people will come forward as a result of this. Do you think you would do it again as like a updated thing if you got enough more footage?
Yeah, perhaps in time. You know, it's something that a lot of families should be concerned with, is preserving their home movies, whether they're on film or video, because either of those formats will degrade over time and quite rapidly, especially, you know, Super 8 film gets brittle over the years and could be hard to run through a projector as well. You know, VHS or Hi-8 home movies from, say, the 80s or 90s, those tapes oxidize. And so if they're not sort of you know, taken care of and put onto the new formats every 10 or 20 years, like eventually they'll just crack up. So it's you know, it's a good excuse also for families to pull out their home movies. But as far as doing it again, maybe, but next year we're sort of already talking about what might happen, and we're going to continue the Hidden Histories theme, but this time we're going to try to get people from Guelph to make short documentaries about hidden places. So places in Guelph that you can't access, that you can't get into, but, you know, maybe if aspiring documentary makers can figure out places that they have access to sort of give a glimpse of those places to the general public. So that's pretty excited about that already.
Awesome. I have a question about EdVideo. Now that you brought up the need for people to preserve their films in various different formats, is that something that EdVideo can be, if somebody was wanting to do that, could they hire EdVideo to help them with that process? Or,
well, we've done that in the past. We're not really of the facilities to do that. It can prove to be very difficult, actually, with, like I say, for one, it's hard to find the players sometimes and maintain those players, old projectors and decks. But secondly, it's very time consuming. You know, so if someone, you know, showed up with a shoebox full of films and videos, that could easily take someone a week or two, no problem, to restore them and digitize them and, you know, burn them onto DVDs or do whatever they want with them. So, you know, it ends up actually being a relatively expensive venture,
right?
Although it's necessary. But there's other places that specialize in that and are a little bit better set up to do that.
Right. I know that CFRU had some things that we needed to deal with archiving some of the reel-to-reel stuff that we had. I don't know where we are with that at all, but perhaps we need to seek out one of these places. Are there's places in Guelph?
I don't believe there are at the moment, but they, you know, within this area or at the very least in Toronto. I've heard about CFRU's archive from Peter Bradley in particular, some Bob Marley tape interviews that are still kind of waiting to be restored.
To be salvaged. Yeah, there's some, I don't know what is really on there, because I've seen it a few times, and it sort of seems like it might have just been not an interview with somebody from CFRU. We just somehow ended up with this interview that's on a reel-to-reel tape. It could be an interview that was done with somebody from CFRU, but it was from 1977 or 78. Mm. So I just don't know at that time if somebody at CFRU would have been able to have an interview with Bob Marley. I don't know where the station was at that point in time. But we do have that interview does exist, and it would be interesting to see what's on it.
Well, it's a it's a problem that faces any archive, even, you know, CBC's archive, that you think they'd have the money and the resources to take care of it. You know, it's like, it's very common problem, and I'm always reading stories about, oh my goodness, they found this like tape of the Beatles from 64, had no idea that was there, and you know, it's quite a treat sometimes to pull out these old tapes.
Yeah. And yeah, sometimes I wish I could remember the name of the movie that I remember reading about somebody discovering all the cans of reels of it was in somebody in the director's shed or something, and they hadn't finished making the movie, and after they died they discovered like all this footage that they were able to piece together into releasing something.
Yeah, exactly. Like, well, maybe it's like that Festival Express movie with Janis Joplin.
Maybe that was it.
Those reels were in someone's garage. A few years ago, some filmmakers in Winnipeg made an amazing video all about the history of the Winnipeg Jets, and all of the footage was found in many dumpsters outside of the local TV station that were all being thrown out.
So really?
They salvaged them all, made this amazing documentary sort of about the history of hockey in Winnipeg, and about Wayne Gretzky in particular, as Winnipeg's like sort of loved enemy. And when it was done, they sort of had to fight a cease and desist order from the TV station that they found all the footage at.
Oh, brother.
Mm-hmm. They won in the end.
So the TV station was trying to claim that they still had rights over the footage or something?
Yeah, exactly.
Even though they'd thrown it out?
Mm-hmm.
So what was what was the ruling? Was it that the TV station had given up ownership or something by throwing it out, or?
I don't know the details, but I know in the end that that they're allowed to still, you know, distribute their documentary, and you know, the idea that it's for the greater good of their city, you know, should trump 30-year-old rights from a TV station that obviously weren't cared about.
Right. Before we wrap up, I have somebody coming in from the Guelph Moving Media Festival. I just wanted to get an update about other upcoming events at EdVideo that are just around the corner.
Yeah. Like I said, the EdVideo Gallery will be a venue for two of the screenings of the Guelph Festival of Moving Media this weekend, Saturday, November 6th, 3 p.m. We have a film called The Peddler, and followed by a panel discussion about participatory community arts. Then the next day, on Sunday, November 7th, same time, 3 p.m., another documentary called The Afghan Chronicles. So that's part of the festival. But then after that's done, kind of the last big exhibit of the year is called A Short Parenthesis in a Long Period. It's a solo show by a Toronto-based artist named Jean-Paul Kelly, and it features his amazing and beautiful, subtle drawings, as well as some animations that he makes from those drawings. That opens on Saturday, November 13th, from 2 till 5.
And what is the Afghan Chronicles about?
Let's see. I myself didn't choose the films that came in, but here's the description. Key Media, founded by Afghans returned from exile, runs a radio station and produces two weekly magazines, one aimed specifically at and written by women. The film chronicles the daily activities of the company's distribution manager as he drives around Kabul, visiting newsstands and sales points. We see a city battered by war and meet some of the people trying to rebuild it. So, yeah. So it's an NFB film.
Awesome. And what are those times again for those movie times?
Yep, they're one on this Saturday and one on this Sunday. The first one, The Peddlers, at 3 p.m. at the Ed Video Gallery.
Which is 40 Baker or 41?
40 Baker 40 Street.
Baker. 40 yep. Baker Street.
And then same again, The Afghan Chronicles the next day on Sunday is at 3 p.m. as well.
All right, and it's November 12th for the opening of the show.
Short parenthesis.
Short parenthesis.
And a long period. That's right.
And how long is that show running for?
That show kind of plays out the year in the gallery, so it goes until December 16th.
All right.
So if you don't make the opening, you can come by anytime, Monday, Friday, 10 to 5, and check it out in the gallery.
And the opening is on the 12th at 7, did you say?
It's an afternoon one this time, so 2 p.m. to 5 p.m. I think I actually spoke with the artist Jean-Paul Kelly, and he's curious if he might be able to come on your show and talk about his show, his
yes,
exhibit.
Indeed. He certainly can. So listeners, stay tuned for that. We'll be following up with the artist for that show. Do you think he can come on Silver Screen Dream Machine, or
he would either? He'd love to.
All right. Yeah. Well, tune into Fishing with Boston 9 to 11 Tuesday morning, or Silver Screen Dream Machine sometime over the next couple of weeks, and we'll have that interview for you. And now we're just going to go to a quick musical break while we transfer over to our next guest, who's going to talk to us about the Guelph Moving Media Festival, or the Guelph International Film Festival, in just one moment. This is PS I Love You with a song called Cibez. They're playing with Diamond Rings tonight at the E-Bar. That show will be starting, musical start around 10, doors at 9. It is $7 at the door. You're tuned in to CFRU 93.3 FM in Guelph. This is Silver Screen Dream Machine. And thank you very much, Scott McGovern, for coming in to fill us in on all of the awesome things that EdVideo is up to. Check out the archival footage reel that they've made that's being broadcast on the old Elma Studio Gallery downtown on Windham Street at nighttime and at the cafe in Quebec Street Mall during the day. And stay tuned for the interview that we'll have in the coming weeks with the artist who is doing the parenthesis show on November 12th at EdVideo. And now I'd like to welcome our next guest, Marion, onto the show. Welcome to the show.
Hi, thanks for having me.
And Marion is here representing the Guelph International Film Festival, or the Guelph Moving Media Festival. Which is the preferred name?
It is now the Guelph Festival of Moving Media.
Guelph Festival.
GFOM, if you prefer.
So it used to be Guelph International Film Festival?
Yeah, for years and years it was GIF. When it started in, I guess, the 80s, it was known as GIF. And when we revamped it about 7 or 8 years ago, we went with GIF. And then the last couple of years, we decided it's more than a film festival. It is a media festival, and we wanted to sort of reflect what the changes that were happening in terms of media production and genres and all that kind of stuff that people are working with now. So we went with Moving Media.
More representative name. I think that it works quite well.
Thanks.
So the festival starts on Friday and goes and runs through until Sunday?
Until Sunday. But it's actually, there's a few things that are sort of pre-festival. So beginning on Thursday, November 4th, there's a couple of screenings out at the Everdale Organic Farm. And there's also actually a Guelph, University of Guelph screening of A Different Path on Thursday, November 4th at 8 p.m. So a few little pre-festival things. And then there's also, we've expanded the children's programming this year. So there's actually a school screening at the Bookshelf Cinema during the day on Tuesday and Wednesday of this week. So we're sort of trying to open it up a little bit and do some pre-festival stuff before the grand opening on Friday.
Awesome.
Mm-hmm.
And has there always been pre-festival stuff, or is this just a new development?
There's been in the past, for example, the first year we revamped it, I guess in 2003, there was, we did some high school screenings, which were sort of a day or two before the festival started. And that was really successful because it was a great way to sort of engage what was the community and more specifically the teenagers in the community about what was going on with the festival and really bring people downtown and sort of get the word out there. And there's also been like Everdale Organic Farm has done a lot of screenings for us. So has Fourfold Farm. So they all screen stuff out at their premises. And just to sort of, take it out of the cinema, which is sort of what we like to do.
So, yeah.
Yeah.
And it kind of creates a different atmosphere and a different state of mind for people to maybe absorb the ideas that they're seeing and think about them in a different way.
Totally.
I think that's a great concept for presenting movies in that type of environment.
Yeah, particularly because they really are. I mean, a lot of these films are, they're issue-based, and we're trying to sort of bring it to, the atmosphere of that issue. So
yeah.
A lot of stuff is, the origin of our food or farm issues or whatever. So we have in the past actually shown a lot of things on farms and, that kind
so
of
very
thing.
Relevant,
yeah.
Very topically relevant. And for some of the listeners out there who might not know the history of the festival, what year did it start?
So it originally started in, I'm going to get this wrong, I think 84? Gosh, I should really look that up. And it ran for quite some time. And it was it was sort of one of the first festivals, really, film festivals of its time. And it was the first festival, film festival in that really treated filmmakers as rock stars. It was sort of before documentary became this big deal and filmmakers were kind of, celebrities on some level. And and it was in Little Old Guelph, you know. And so, and then it went on hiatus for 13 years. So, yeah, in its present form, it's been since 2003.
So it ran from 84 until 90?
I think that's it. I should really look it up. It's probably on the, it's on the website. And if you go to the website, which is Guelph Festival, or just Google GFOM and you'll find it. It's, well, sorry, festivalofmovingmedia.ca. You'll, if you look at the history, there's a really amazing history to this, to this festival, and it really, yeah, it'll make you proud.
And then it started again, you say, in 2003.
Yeah.
So it took 13 years off, and then now has started in the incarnation that we know now.
Mm-hmm.
And is it something that I'm curious about the workings of it. Like, is, do people work on it all year round trying to get it ready?
Yeah. I mean, I'm on the advisory committee. So what we try to do is we sort of meet periodically throughout the year. Unfortunately, a lot of the, you know, main stuff is really volunteer based. We have a couple of people who work on it sort of part time throughout the year and try and get projects going and grants written for the coming spring. So yeah, I mean, it's sort of a part time thing until we really sort of hit full force in the spring. And it really is sort of a collaborative effort where, you know, people are throwing ideas out and we just try and figure out what's the best thing that we can do. What's, you know, where are we trying to take the festival? We're always trying to sort of push it forward and make it, but, you know, continue in its roots and make it remain accessible financially speaking and program wise. So, yeah, it is sort of a year round thing, but not full force until the spring.
And what are some of the key films that you think would interest listeners for this year's festival?
Well, for sure, the opening night film, which is a really, really well done film called Real Engine, and it's fascinating, and it's got some amazing interviews. And what it is, it's about this sort of cinematic depiction of Aboriginal peoples throughout, you know, the last 100 years, essentially, of cinema. So it is, it's, what's great about it is that it's a sort of a historical archive of films and the progression of those kind of stereotypical images. But it's also, you know, it really tells the story of those sort of civil rights and those kinds of images, and it's a real historical picture, not only a movie about movies, but a movie about a one, you know, a people's moving forward.
Yeah.
So it's really amazing, and that is the opening night film on Friday, November 5th, and it's at 7 p.m. at Norfolk Street United, and it's being hosted. There's a panel discussion afterwards, or a sort of opening discussion with this wonderful actress from Toronto named Monique Mojica. And she actually wrote a great play called The Only Good Indian, and which was sort of about the same kind of ideas.
Right.
And she's, you know, been an actor, an Aboriginal actor, and she's been working in the Toronto film, or the Toronto, you know, theater and film industry for decades and decades, and she's just amazing. She's like just a fascinating woman. So she'll be there, and she'll be there to sort of lead a discussion. So it should be, yeah, really fascinating.
Wow, that,
evening.
That sounds like it will be very interesting.
Yeah.
So that is, I guess, the one, the highlight film, or
that's the official opening night film. But afterwards, you know, at 9 p.m., there's a wonderful a thing called Le Seek, which I actually saw last year, and it's at Dublin Street United Church. And it's a, what are they calling it? Like a rock opera.
Graphic novel
graphic
opera. Ehab from Le Seek was actually just here a second ago handing me a poster. He's going to be on Fishing with Boston, my other radio show, tomorrow morning. So if listeners want to find out more about what they're doing, they also have they're co-presenting the Polydactyl Hearts Collective as well that night. So both of their projects, and the new one, the Polydactyl Hearts Collective, has come up with something called Hello Adventure, and I think it fits more with the moving media because they have more, there's more stop motion animation things mm-hmm. happening. And Lysique is sort of like a graphic novel put into still frames behind a band, and it tells the story that way. But the Hello Adventure is, there's more happening on screen, and it's also a newer project. A lot of people might have seen Lysique, but they probably haven't seen the Hello Adventure yet. So that will be also exciting.
Yeah, it's a really great way to sort of present two things at once. And it's, so that's, yeah, that's at 9. And then at 11 p.m., the same opening night, is there's a bunch of shorts for adults at Thin Studios, which is also downtown. So it's a really fun night. And then, you know, throughout the weekend, there's some amazing stuff. But the closing night gala I'm really excited about as well. And that's A Drummer's Dream, which is a really lovely film. I really, really enjoyed it. And I think it's the kind of thing that, you know, anybody can get into if you're a music fan or a drummer or not. It's, like, so fascinating. And it's filled with the most incredible music and amazing talent. So, yeah, check it out for
and
sure.
And that's showing, you said, at 10?
That's at the Bookshelf at 7 p.m. Oh, on 7. Sunday, the closing night. That's the closing night film, and there's a party afterwards. So, yeah, it's also actually showing at Sheldale Center, which is a new venue for us, where they were showing some kids' films there. We're trying to get just, you know, not, we're trying to sort of move it beyond downtown.
So that's now a very good location.
Yeah.
The community center there, I've done some work there, volunteering with kids there and stuff, and that's a really great spot to launch into a new population of the city that probably wouldn't otherwise find out or check out the festival.
Totally.
So,
we're really excited.
Congratulations
about
that. On doing that. That's awesome.
Yeah. It's a great way to really open it up. And I mean, for the longest time, we sort of talked a lot about this being a downtown festival and how do we reach out beyond those borders. And the school programming was really sort of a part of that approach. And now we're sort of getting beyond that. And, you know, U of G as well, and Everdale Organic Farm, and now the Sheldale Center. So that's pretty exciting for us.
Amazing. Well, we're starting to run out of time here, but let's review. People can find out more information if they Google the Guelph Moving Media Festival.
Yeah, the official site is festivalofmovingmedia.ca, but if you just Google GFOMM, G-F-O-M-M, you'll find it. We also have a Facebook page, which you can like and share and all that stuff. So just look for GFOMM on Facebook and become a fan. And yeah, there's all sorts of stuff online. There's if you want to grab a schedule, there's some all over downtown. There's tickets are available at the Bookshelf and at all the venues. There's not tickets at all the venues, but there's programs at all the venues. So yeah, there's info all over town. So please do pick some up.
All right. Thank you very much, Marion, for coming on Silver Screen Dream Machine to tell us about the Guelph Moving Media Festival. And
no problem.
I will talk a bit more about the festival to remind people tomorrow on Fishing with Boston between 9 and 11. I don't know if anybody else can come in. I sent Rob a message saying somebody could come in if they wanted to tomorrow. But otherwise, thank you very much for coming in today. And we are looking forward to the opening of the festival on Friday.
Thanks a lot.